It's Helping Hand, weekly feature on HBR1 stations each Friday, part of All Things Considered, also online in our archive of Helping Hand segments at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and those among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are learning about Big Brothers Big Sisters of Hawaii. This is a returning guest organization and a very high-quality returning guest speaking on their behalf. Since 1963, Big Brothers Big Sisters Hawaii have partnered with guardians, schools, corporations, others in the community, pairing littles with bigs. We'll learn more about that. It's an affiliate of the nation's largest donor and volunteer-supported mentoring network, providing over 600 kids facing adversity with strong and enduring professionally supported one-to-one mentoring relationships that change their lives for the better forever. And from Big Brothers Big Sisters Hawaii, Dennis Brown, the first ever little brother for the organization in Hawaii, is now the, what's your title with the organization?
President CEO.
President and CEO. So from the first little brother to the president and CEO. And these are extremely special returning guests that we've got today. Welcome back.
Thanks so much, Dave. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And no doubt people, this is one of those names, kind of like Salvation Army, United Way. There are some names you know, but maybe you don't know all the nuance of it. But as you see it, especially considering the journey you've had with the organization, explain the concept and the mission.
Well, as you mentioned, we're a mentoring organization and particularly focused on youth. We've kind of expanded our age range. It used to be from 6 to 16. Now we realize, have realized over the past couple of years that, you know, 16 or 18 is no magic number. I mean, it's kind of the legal age for certain things, but it's really a new beginning point. A child graduates from high school, that doesn't mean they're ready to go out in the world and they don't need a mentor anymore. So we now will serve kids through college. You know, we'll stay with them if they'd like to and stay with their big brother or big sister. But it's all about the power of friendship and that mentoring relationship. If we can get two people to bond and feel good about each other, a child will generally then listen to what a mentor has to say and follow a good example.
And that's the kind of thing, as you said, it doesn't really end. It's not like there's not an expiration date.
Correct.
On when a friendship would end, especially as a good time to just mention. I mean, your situation, you went through and maintained your friendship with Henry. That was your big brother?
Yes, Henry Sumita.
Henry Sumita. And God bless him for his whole life.
That's true. And we were lifelong friends. He just passed away in 2011. And as I've told other people, I was very honored by his three adult children to serve as one of the eulogists. I gave one of the three eulogies at his funeral service back in 2011. And they said that, you know, most people don't know this, but Henry himself was very proud of being the first big brother and of us being the first match, though he didn't talk about it to anybody. In fact, many people at the funeral had never even heard the story of us being the first in Hawaii.
Well, it just shows you getting that, you know, I have you had that right at that point, because like what you said, it's not something that ends at a certain age. And I think that's smart of your organization to allow it to kind of naturally grow, because we all need friends and we need them as long as we're here on this, in this life.
Yes, true. And getting back to your original question, the children we serve are very vulnerable. We like to say they're at promise, but they're facing some sort of adversity in their lives. It may be growing up in a single parent household, or maybe being raised by foster parents because their own parents are incarcerated or in drug rehabilitation. So they are very vulnerable. You know, it's so easy to choose the wrong path, right, when you're young and be influenced by the wrong things. So what we try to do is introduce that person who can come along, be a friend, not necessarily a parent or authority figure, but really an honest friend who can just be a good example and hopefully help them choose the right path.
Right, that's it, to be a positive example. And so it's not replacing parents, it's really providing, because as you said, I mean, kids are so susceptible. Somebody who's providing a bad example, you could be the counterbalance to that, and maybe even see that and head it off, because a bad example and a bad path taken, the results can be catastrophic.
Yes, and there's so much more, I mean, to get economical about this. You know, they're so much more expensive later on for the society and community to take care of, where if we could prevent them from getting there in the first place, it's so much better. And that's one of the reasons Big Brothers Big Sisters is unique, in that we really insist on one-to-one relationships, because as you mentioned, there are so many bad influences out there. What we want to do is have someone who the child or youth knows cares about them special, and that's why it's a one-to-one thing, and they really are interested in that person's life, so that the impact of whatever they have to say carries that much more weight.
Right, and that's it can start so early. Not having kids, but having some friends and stuff who do, and you hear about a girl 12, 13, I'm thinking of this person in my life, it's somebody's granddaughter, and they go to school, and then they meet this one bad apple, and it starts to have this influence, and now the granddaughter starts to have all these, she's misbehaving, she's acting out, she's all the, and so it can't be overstated the how bad a path someone could be because of bad exposure like that. And the flip side is how much positivity and importance could come from having somebody who is setting a role, being a role model for what could the good way forward. You know, a person who is gonna then that child. As my boss was saying to you before we started this thing, you know, you may expose them to something, taking them to your workplace, showing them a game, showing them they might see somebody else at your workplace who's just working hard and is a well prepared and highly presentable kind of cat, and you may not realize the impact right at that moment, but years later in that person's life, it could help them to have adopted better habits.
That's so true. In my own case, it wasn't until I was 22 years old and I had joined the Air Force at the suggestion of my big brother, because I wasn't interested at that time, I thought, in college ever. I ended up later going, but I joined the Air Force and I was stationed overseas in Italy about 2 years into it, or 2 to 3 years into it. I was 21, 22 years old, and I woke up one day and, you know, having grown up living in public housing projects, Kalakaua housing here, and being raised by a single mom from Japan who didn't even speak English as a first language, working 3 jobs to just keep us, you know, subsisting. And I realized that of all the relationships I'd had, or all the help I'd had along the way, whether it was government, you know, a sports coach or whatever it was, that this big brother, Henry, volunteered his time. He wasn't paid to do it. It wasn't his job. But it made me realize that there are people like that in the world, and I'd kind of like to do that myself. So It got me involved in human services. And again, never thought I'd be where I am today with the same organization.
Right. And years down the road, years after the thing, after you're a minor, it starts to click.
Right. Right. Because when you're young, you don't really realize. You don't have that appreciation yet. You're just enjoying it or living your life.
But those things you're exposed to are they're being recorded in your mind somewhere. And then later, boom, they all come together. All the ingredients finally make sense.
Right, exactly.
And you can do something. And one of the things I don't think we talked about last time on this note of mentoring and the positive ways it can help, as I dissected your website, and it's and I'll have all the contact info at the end, but it's bbbshawaii.org. There is 3 areas, it looks like, and you'll help me understand it: community-based mentoring, school-based mentoring, and for the Honolulu area only, Holomua online mentoring?
Yes. Community-based mentoring is the original model of Big Brothers Big Sisters. That's what I had, where Henry would take me on outings on the weekends. So we'd go out and go to a movie, or he'd take me places. He took me to the University of Hawaii just to see the campus. And kind of that was my first exposure. This is what college looks like, you know?
I mean, amazing.
It's not this intangible thing. It's here. So those kinds of things. So they meet on their own. It's very unstructured in that way. But we have a case manager who monitors their outings, not going along with them, but asking them questions afterward, just to make sure that everything is safe and that the child is really having his or her needs met. Because we coach the big brother or big sister as to what the child's situation is and really where they need help. Is it with school? Is it with confidence or making friends or behaving better at home? Whatever it is, so at least they have some idea. And again, they're in a friendly way trying to influence that. Our school-based mentoring is an after-school program where The kids meet in a classroom setting, and it's usually an elementary school. We often have high school students at a nearby school walk over and mentor the kids there. They're still paired off one-on-one. We have a staff person in the classroom who has an activity for them, who kind of guides them. They spend some time doing some homework, some schoolwork, because that's always part of it. Those kids are referred to us by the teachers or counselors of the school as either failing in a subject or more, or behaving badly.
And how about the older ones? How are they getting involved? Are they referred equally because, are they referred equally because they are outstanding students or seem really giving? Or,
well, that's an interesting question. We open it to anyone at the high school who would like to apply. We do go through, of course, an interview process with them, and they don't necessarily have to be the top student or the best student.
Sure.
Behave, but show a sincere interest in wanting to do this and a commitment. That's really important, because once they commit, it's for the entire school year. It's once a week after school. And the worst thing that we can do is match someone with someone who's inconsistent,
right?
Because that's what these children
are facing already.
Yeah, they've already experienced that. Someone's left them, whether it's the dad or the mom, or is just not around, or then pops back in once in a while. So it's just that, that uncertainty, and it's disruptive. So we wanted to be consistent. So we look for that mainly. And
that's a great thing. So that's another whole thing that we definitely, I don't think, brought into the... So what I'm saying is, for people listening, if you've got a kid and they're in high school, any age in high school, or is it seniors?
Ninth through 12th, yeah.
Okay, so mm-hmm. All of high school, and your kid's a good kid. And this is a thing you could... Because how do the kids find out otherwise besides... maybe a parent hearing this segment or teachers who have heard this segment and then turn them on? Otherwise, what would be the way that those kids would hear of this?
Well, we're in certain schools only, so we approach the nearby high school. But if someone is interested, again, they could go to our website or give us a call. And even if they're not at the school we've chosen that's really close by in walking distance, if they have their own transportation, and we've done this before, and they would really like to be a mentor, and it's the timing of their school schedule
works out.
We'd be glad to interview them. And
well, that's a great thing. That's a whole other facet of your of your program.
Yeah, it's a way for us to reach those youths, those children who maybe... their family's not stable enough, like a single mom sometimes, because it takes cooperation for them to have them be available on the weekends for the big brother to come and pick them up. And sometimes they just aren't up for that. So the school, this is kind of an extension of their school day. So it works out for those kids who maybe we can't reach in our community-based program.
And it works out for the mentors, too.
And for the mentors. And we actually mentor the mentors, so our staff have a program for these high schoolers. So not only can they say they volunteered and put it on their college application or resume, but we actually put them through a program where they're learning the value of what they're doing, the mentoring. They appreciate it more.
Untold amount of, you talked about societal costs. On the flip side, untold advantages to society for having gotten your kids started giving back at this age and being a mentor, because undoubtedly there are just a lot of little subtleties in the way they could further approach life as they get older, where that spirit of giving back and understanding when someone's in need, I mean, just a lot of ways that it's good for both people.
And that's a great point, too, because so many of them, when they get into college, they tell us, I'm going to look for the Big Brothers Big Sister program there and do this while I'm in college. So they
enjoy it.
And they want to continue it. Yeah. It's very fulfilling.
That's huge. And the online thing, am I saying it right? Holomua?
Holomua. Holomua is a program we started. It's right now only at Castle High School.
Okay.
We're hoping to expand it. We're just in our third school year now of doing it. And it's a concept, as we say, it's online mentoring, but it's actually very structured. We have a chat room that we've set up for the bigs and the littles. And so the littles in this case, and we don't necessarily refer to them as littles because they're high school students. And these are the ones, again, identified by their college counselors usually or high school teachers as having the potential to go to college, but just not motivated enough for whatever reason, or dealing with issues at home that prevent it. And usually they're the ones who will be the first ever in their family to go to college. Mm. So no one's really supporting them. No one knows how in their own household. So we identify them and we match them with working professionals, adults in the community who are successful in their own right. It could be in any field. But usually we focus on ones who have been to college. That's our first choice, but we're also aware of the fact that college isn't necessarily for everybody. Right. So it's college and career. So people who have some sort of a career. And what they do is they actually interact through the chat room. And we were a little skeptical about this when we first heard about it. It started in New York a few years ago. They call it iMentoring with a little I, like iPhone, you know, iMentoring. It had been introduced as, or online mentoring had been introduced as a way to just have them just email each other, like be pen pals. But we never bought into that. And that really kind of fizzled out nationally after a while because it's just not structured or supervised. And it gets a little dicey where, you know, there's no supervision of it. So our case managers are able to monitor what is said in the chat, in the chats. And they know that. The child's aware of it as well as the mentor. But we meet with the students once a week in a classroom setting, and they're given prompts. There's a topic for the day. It might be resiliency. Okay, you're dealing with this. How are you going to, you know, resolve it, or how are you going to bounce back from
some kind of crisis?
Some kind of crisis or some kind of, and it may, you know, crises for a high school student may be different, but it is a crisis to them nevertheless.
Right.
And so we talk about it a little bit in a classroom setting with our staff, and then they're given a prompt, ask your big sister about that, or, you know, for your chat for the next week, 1 week period, start a conversation. And lo and behold, because students today are technology natives, right? They grew up with this. That's their preferred way of communicating. Mm-hmm. And especially, I think, in Hawaii, where the local culture is a little more reserved and a little less, you know, able to sit and face someone eye to eye and speak, especially a stranger, essentially, or someone who's new. It's amazing what they will say and how much they'll open up to someone through the chat.
Right.
And then...
Is that like a progression, though? They're going to meet in person?
We once a month have a group meeting where they all meet in person, and we have an activity. We just had one, lo'i cleanup. We've got lau lau making. We've got all kinds of things. The children and the bigs, the students and the bigs choose or give us ideas for what they'd like to do. They've been to Wahine volleyball games as a group. You know, things that, it's amazing. Students in Kaneohe have never come over to Honolulu and been to Stan Sheriff Arena.
Wow.
So we give them, you know, we provide the transportation and everything. And as you said, for those that would like to, that really hit it off and want to see more of each other, if the parent gives the okay, because what we do is we screen these volunteers to what we call the community-based level, the one where they can go on outings on their own. So, you know, we're checking for safety, the background check and all of that. If the parent's okay with it, they like to progress to the next step, which is they can go out on their own in between. You know, these regular sessions will still keep them in the regular program, but they can also meet outside of that. And we've had a few who've done that already. So we piloted this 2 years ago. It worked really well. Castle High School's really enamored of it. They love it. They give us the classroom time once a week, 45 minutes to have these students meet.
I get it.
And we're trying to expand it now. So
it's innovative.
Yeah, it is innovative. It is. And for us, it was something really innovative because we, you know, you can be wedded to your model too much sometimes and not realize that, hey, we're not reaching this segment of the population. And we were guided to this because of the fact that the DOE was saying how much of a challenge it is for them to get kids to go to college. And not only go, but as we were talking about earlier, the first year is the highest dropout rate of college. Mm-hmm. So if they've got a mentor who can then continue to chat with them at a minimum, if they go away to school or whatever, help them get through that first year, they're more likely to succeed.
So I guess I'm also saying that, you've discovered that because retention of your collegiate staying in college is such a challenge that it almost lends itself to why you'd want to expand the Big Brothers Big Sisters age cat thing to go into college, because people will, and that's funny. I know somebody who's very affluent person, and they had a kid. They have a kid, and a few years ago, he turned of college going age, and they're local, you know, born and raised here. And he didn't, it's true. College is not necessary for everybody. A lot of people can make a lot out of themselves. There's a lot of paths, a lot of ways to do life. But he was the kind of kid, and from his household, one would assume, on the mainland at least, you'd assume, well, that kid's definitely going to be going to college. And because of it, he just wasn't motivated to do that. And, and he's not like in deep trouble or anything, but it's one of those kind of cats. I look at him and I almost, in a positive way, I just want to say, hey, bro, you really, you know, do this while you can. Go to college. Yeah. Take advantage of the fact that your parents have the means to send you to school and you're smart enough. This would really help you. It's not, it is something. And that's interesting. So a lot of, and I think in this community, not being from here, but having been here 14 years, I mm-hmm. noticed that. I think it's, when you're on an island like this and you're not connected to it, you don't see what's going on per se back in the rest of the country. You may realize, oh, I'm just in my little world. I don't right. need that. But it's such an advantage in so many ways.
It is.
And it's not just like with the learning. It's like you also learn by being there and,
exactly.
and doing it. And when you have parents who have the means to send you off to mm-hmm. school, that's a really valuable thing.
Right.
And I can
right.
see how, and I've learned that a lot of local cats just don't, understandably, it's just not, they, oh, I want to cruise with my friends, you
right.
know, but, you know, it may be, you know, the world is, can you're going to find a lot of friends out there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and as you said, it's kind of a challenge sometimes, kind
it
of
is.
Like the challenge of meeting people who you otherwise think of as strangers or whatever, but
right.
you never know what good can come from that.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, having parents, just as you just mentioned, the example you gave. But for them to hear the things you just said about the advantages and what you can learn not only academically but personally for your own growth, coming from a big brother or a big sister or a friend of the family or whatever, you know, kids tend to listen a little bit more than they do their own parents sometimes, right? You tune out
yeah.
the parents and stuff.
I've tried.
Yeah.
But it's tough because they're already kind of an adult.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to be like, I don't want to be, you know, I'm not, yeah. you know, who am I to be talking down to you?
Sure.
And you don't, and there's just local, there's always local sensitivities about
right.
stuff. And I don't want to be like that outsider,
yeah.
you know, white dude from the East Coast trying to tell you how it is.
Sure.
But because I understand, you know, I don't have the map for how life is, but it's
sure.
just something that you would do. When you said that, I have observed and I've said,
yeah.
wow, it's interesting. A lot of cats who could go on to school are really interested in just hanging with their friends and they don't want to separate from the little thing they've developed
mm-hmm.
here. And that could eventually have denied them of a growth potential.
Right.
That is that does require moving forward. And even when you're on the mainland, I mean, I grew up in the Philly area, but I went to school in Boston. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
That was, and that's a separation
mm-hmm.
that in and of itself, you grow through
you
it, you know, and when you meet new people like this. And so another part of it, think about the meeting new people that I remember, it's females you have a harder time recruiting. Is that how it works? Or it's men?
As
which
students,
is?
It's men to be big brothers that we have a hard time with.
That's,
we've got a
okay.
lot of boys
okay.
waiting. And it's the opposite with the females. We've got women who always want to be big. So we have about 30 right now waiting.
But no
we
girls.
We don't have girls. And it's kind of a, when you think about it, it's maybe a logical dynamic that a mom who has a daughter wouldn't think her daughter needs another woman. You know, like for her son, obviously, you know, he's got no man around. I need a male for him. So it's hard to convince women that there is a big impact and advantage to having your daughter in our program because, and it's not a, meant to be, again, taking the place of a parent
sure.
or a threatening thing. It's really someone that they can talk to.
Added enrichment.
Added enrichment, exactly, yeah. And it's, we're trying now, we've got kind of a new slogan for trying to recruit more daughters, more girls, is that, you know, help your daughter have another strong woman in her life.
That's
you know,
great.
So that, you know, rather than saying you're not good enough, we need to bring this person, which is not what we were saying, but I think sometimes the perception is that.
Understanding.
Yeah. So, yeah, we do have a need for girls. If anyone of your listeners
right, yeah, we
knows
want.
Of someone, you know, who is in a situation where, hey, their daughter might be benefit from having a big sister. And we've got a lot of women who are really eager to.
So you have a lot of women. You need the girls to match up with them.
Right.
So young girls. And then on the flip side, we're looking for more adult males
right.
to be mentors of boys.
Of boys, right. And any age, you know, 18 and up for the community-based program. And the boys we have primarily are not so much in the Honolulu proper area. They're more in the outlying areas. They're the harder ones to match because obviously if you're going to be taking them out, you need to drive to Waipahu or...
So we're looking for people who are beyond the Honolulu area
yeah.
on and not just...
Or willing to.
And not just because you guys are statewide. So
right.
we're also looking at people. Is that the same for your other? So so when it comes to the Garden Isle, it's not just people who are in Lihue and Kapa'a. You need, or is it? Or are you speaking? That situation is mostly in Honolulu.
That's
where?
Mostly in Honolulu.
Okay.
Yeah, on the neighbor islands, it's a little different because they're pretty spread out.
Right.
But we do have the same need. It's usually more of a need for men and then girls because we do have women waiting to be big. So yes, we're on all four major islands. So
there are, and thinking of other ways folks can help you guys out, Give Clothes and Goods is an area online. So as we think about ways to try to hook you guys up with resources, we've illustrated that you're looking for young girls to participate because you have older women who want to be their mentors. We're looking for men who want to be mentors for boys because you have a whole lot of boys that are involved. We know we're looking for good kids in high school who have a great opportunity to be part of this high school, this school-based mentoring. The Give Clothes and Goods, what is that? How can people help?
Right. So we have a partnership with Savers Thrift Stores where we are their supplier for the goods they sell in their store. And we have a couple of ways we can do that. You can give us a call and we can schedule and come and pick it up from your household. Our trucks are on the road every day, 6 days a week, and we go to different areas each day of the island. So you can call to schedule a pickup that way, or you can drop off. On our website, we've got a list of locations where we have pods. We have drop-off centers location. They're attended. There's attendant there. They're usually open all day during daylight hours from about 8 to 5, 8 to 6, and on the weekends too, Saturdays and Sundays.
And then about people for the, what do you need people on the board? Are you guys looking for some cash too? What are other ways that people listening who maybe don't have some of the other things that we're mentioning that they could help with, but maybe they could be on the board or maybe they've got money? Do we need both those areas?
Yes, we do need both those areas. We've got about four positions coming up open in January for our board of directors. So people who would have an interest in that, you know, can call us directly, get in touch with me, Dennis Brown, personally, yep. And we can work on that. And of course, cash. We've got a monthly giving program, as HPR does. So we encourage people, if they'd like to do that, you know, $10, $15 a month or whatever they can afford, a convenient way we can do, you know, direct, they can do pay directly off their credit card or debit card. We can set that up for you. That's online.
Sustaining members,
right. Yeah, we call them cherishables because we cherish their ongoing giving. And then also we've got events too. We have something that we're starting in January. We're doing is also, you can access it through our website, called the Great Big Challenge, because January is National Mentoring Month. And we want to do something around fitness and mentoring. And so we're asking people if you'd like to sign up for that and commit to doing something, some kind of an activity of involving exercise or fitness. It could be, I'm going to walk a mile every day, sort of like a New Year's resolution for the whole month of January. Every day or every other day, I'm going to walk a mile or 2 miles or something like that, or whatever you want to do, do push-ups or do Zumba exercises. And then email your friends or send that out on your Facebook and ask your friends to pledge something to help support you do that, to raise money for Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Yeah.
It's called the Great Big Challenge.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so very cool.
Something new. First time ever we're trying. We're one of the 36 pilot agencies across the country doing this for Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America.
It's a fantastic organization. BBBSHawaii.org is the website where you can learn more about all these different programs and share it with anyone who you think could benefit in a number of the ways we've tried to illustrate. You can email Dennis at BBBS@BBBSHawaii.org. You can give him a call, 808-521-3811. All of their contact information, the full-length interview, the radio feature, and all of our Helping Hand guests, all archived at HawaiiPublicRadio.org, where you can listen to all of our guests and get all of their contact information. Things that we left out that are crucial to add to the anything we did not cover that...
I think we covered. I just want to say, really appreciate being able to be here and what you're doing with Helping Hand. It's so wonderful. You know, nonprofits can never, we never will have enough money to pay for advertising on our own. So this is just so great for us to be able to increase our awareness in the community. So thank you for that, Dave.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. It's President and CEO.
Correct.
President and CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Hawaii, Dennis Brown, very first little brother ever for this organization in Hawaii. And a huge thrill to have you back on. And the door is always open if there's ever an emergency or anything that you think, I really could use an opportunity to reach the public about this thing. We have a crisis, or this just happened, or we need money for something that's going on. The door is open. I want to, you know, that's why Helping Hand is here. So don't hesitate to be in touch.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that very much.